Would you turn back to Genesis chapter 32? The psalmist said, "Blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob as his refuge." I pray that every one of us will be able to enter in to what that means, to have the God of Jacob. That's how God identifies himself more than any other way in the Scripture. The God of Jacob. I don't see it. Excuse me. Oh, I left it back there. Sorry. That's good. Uncomfortable silence. In Genesis 32, verse 6, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And then we have this first recorded prayer in Scripture. We looked at this last week. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I'll deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night after praying for the Lord to deliver him. He lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. He had all this planned out, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. Now that's a lot of animals. That's a lot of wealth. And he was seeking to buy his brother. Yes, he prayed for deliverance, but he's covering all of his bases. That's the way Jacob always was. He prayed for deliverance, and I believe he was sincere. And yet he tried to cover all of his bases. "And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And each one of these groups of animals came to Esau, and he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau, my brother, meet thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then shalt thou say, Thou be thy servant Jacob's. It's a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also, he's behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I'll appease him with the present that goeth before me." In other words, he's trying to buy him off. "And afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me." Now, I think this is interesting. He prayed for the Lord's deliverance. And then he appears to do everything he can to manipulate this situation. Sound like anybody else you know? I'm not being critical of him. How many times have I done this? Was this prudent? Was it manipulation? Yes. Yes to both. That's Jacob. Aren't you glad God loved Jacob? Jacob have I loved. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford at Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. The best place Jacob or you or me can be, alone with Christ. Oh, I pray that he meets each one of us tonight alone. You know, even in public worship, he speaks individually. Oh, that I might be alone with him to where he will deal with me. Just like that woman taken in adultery. After he causes the accusers to leave in shame, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The Lord always deals with us alone. Verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. All night long, this wrestling match continued. And we know who this man was who wrestled with Jacob. Look in verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He was wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to notice who initiated this wrestling match. You know, I've heard so many sermons about Jacob, this great man of faith, how he wrestled with God. Well, that's not given the story. God wrestled with him. And he did this for the purpose of blessing him. He is the one who initiated this. Not Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ initiated this with Jacob, the one he loved, in order to bless him. Now, don't you cry out in your heart, Lord, do that with me. Don't leave me to myself. Bless me. And this wrestling match went on all night. Can you imagine how exhausted Jacob was after this? Now, the Lord wasn't exhausted. Jacob was. A wrestling match that went on all night. And I have no doubt that he was brought to the place of being without strength. You know, when someone is drowning, I've heard that the best thing to do is let them flail until they lose all strength. And then you can rescue. I believe that is where Jacob was brought to at this point, wrestling all night. He was left without strength. And let me remind you, this wrestling match was not a match. This is the Lord Jesus Christ blessing Jacob. Verse 25. And when he, the Lord Jesus, saw that he prevailed not against him. Now, we know he's omnipotent. And we know this is him allowing this to take place. when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. He dislocated the femur from the hip in the ball and socket joint, and I have no idea how painful that must have been. He was already tired, but now he's in great pain and he's without physical strength. When he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And now let's consider what Jacob says at this time. And he said, "Let me go." This is the Lord. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And here's Jacob's response. "I will not let thee go." Presumption? No. "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." I cannot be left to myself. I have to have you do something for me. I will not let you go except thou bless me. I think of Bartimaeus crying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd told him to hold his peace. You know what he did? He cried the more. A great deal. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I must have your mercy." The Syrophoenician woman. "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." "Thou son of David," she knew who he was. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." You know what the scripture says? He answered her not a word. You can read about this in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. He answered her not a word. He ignored her. He kept moving. Well, what did she do? Did she say, "Well, what's the use? I might as well give up. He's not even answering me." She continued to cry. "Have mercy on me." She didn't stop. Listen, anybody who wants the Lord's mercy, they'll never stop asking for it. It's not going to happen. She didn't stop. She continued to cry. And the disciples said, "Send her away. She crieth after us." And then the Lord made this statement. "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, there's only one way that that can be taken. "I've only come to save the elect." Do you hear that? That's what Jesus Christ says to this woman. "I have only come to save the elect. I'm not sent for everybody. I'm sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know what scripture says she did after that? "Then came she and worshiped him." Now, this issue of worship is to be settled whether he does anything for you or me or not. He's the Lord. "Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. I must have your help. I'm not going to let you go except you bless me." What did he say then? "It's not meet. It's not appropriate. It's not right to take the children's bread, my gospel, and throw it to dogs." Now, can you see where she would spin around at that time and say, "All right, I've done all I can. I don't think this is right in the first..." No, she didn't do anything like that. You know what she said in response to the Lord saying, "It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs"? Truth, Lord. If I ever heard the truth, that's it. That's the truth. I'm a dog. I know that. And as a dog, I'm not looking for a play setting with the children. I'd be so grateful for any crumbs that fall my way. The dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord looked at her and said, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, she said, "Lord, I will not let you go except you bless me." You know that scripture, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force"? This is it. This is it. I think of the publican in the temple. "God, be merciful. Be propitious. Do something about my sin." That's what he's saying. He's not talking about what he's going to do. He's not talking about what he promises he'll do. No, there was no bargaining going on. "I'm desperate. I got nothing else. Be propitious to me, the sinner. If you don't do something for me, there's no hope for me." I think of David saying the same thing. "God, be merciful unto me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Do something about my sin. Have you ever prayed to the Lord to do something for you about your sin? Because you can't do anything to make it go away. Do something for me. "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I can't stand on my own. I can't be left to myself. If you don't bless me, it's over for me. I will not let you go except you bless me. Verse 27. "And he said unto him, What is thy name?" Now, didn't he know what his name was? Of course he knew what his name was. He gave him that name. "What's your name?" What your mom and dad named you. They didn't really name you. You were named before the foundation of the world by the Lord Himself. He's the one who gave you the name you have. The Lord knew his name. But there's something that name means. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 27? This is after Jacob had swindled his brother. And here's what his brother had to say. Verse 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, with deceit, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he, Esau, said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now behold, he hath taken away my blessing." What's your name? Jacob. Deceiver. Supplanter. Fraud. Phony, cheat, hypocrite. That's my name. What's your name? Jacob. Now, what this is, as much as anything else, is the confession of sin. Jacob's my name. Jacob's what I am. Jacob's what I do. Sin's my name. Sin's what I am. Sin is what I do. My name is Jacob. This is a true and a genuine confession of sin. Now understand this. Confession of sin is not just articulating sins you've committed. That's a good thing to do. I wouldn't in any way speak against that. But if you simply articulated the sins you committed, there's not enough time in the day. And as far as that goes, most of them, you don't even know what they are in the first place. You don't even know that they're sins that you've committed. You know, if I say it, it's sin. If I breathe, it's sin. That's because I'm Jacob. What's your name? Jacob. Verse 28. That's the beginning of the blessing. That's the beginning of the blessing. When you say your name before Him and confess what you are before Him and say who you are before Him. Confession of sin is agreeing with God. It's taking sides with God against yourself. And until you do that, you've never known your name. My name is Jacob. Verse 28. And he said, this is the Lord speaking to him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. There's the first time we hear that word, Israel. Jacob is named Israel. And what's that mean? For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and have prevailed. How? As a prince, this Jacob, as a prince, he has power with God. Where God, the living God, the holy God, is moved by what he says. And he has power with God. And he has power with men. And has prevailed. How can that be? Hold your finger there in Genesis 36. This is a familiar scripture, but I want you to see it in black and white. 1 John chapter 4. This is how Jacob has power with God. This is how Todd has power with God. This is how every believer has power with God. Now that's something I want. I want him to hear my prayer. I want him to respond to me. I want it to mean something to him. To actually have power with God. Well, here it is in John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he was, so are we in this world. I didn't read that right, did I? As he is. Does he have power with God? Oh, yes, he has power with God. Oh, God hears everything he says. God loves him. He's altogether lovely. Oh, the power that Jesus Christ has with his Father. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, I wouldn't dare think that unless God said it in His Word. But because God said it in His Word, I see how I have power with God and with men. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. All men, all events, all happenings, every person. Somebody would be my enemy. They can't be. They're all a part of the Lord's purpose and providence for His people. And everything they do is for my good and His glory. And that's the same with every believer. Now, what does this mean, thou hast power with God? Well, remember Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what Scripture says? Jesus stood still. He was on His way to the cross. He set His face like a flint. He would not be denied. But Jesus stood still and commanded Him to be called. And they said, rise, Bartimaeus, be of good cheer. He calleth thee. And He threw that garment away and came to Christ. And the Lord said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He had power with God. Now, this thing of power with God, that publican. First, let's talk about what doesn't have power with God. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. You know how much power that has with God? Negative. Zero is not enough. Negative. Negative. No power. God, I promise I'll do this. No power. None. I'll start doing this. No power. I'll change. No power. Here's what has power with God. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And what did the Lord say? I tell you. I tell you. That man went down to his house justified, cleared of all guilt, with a perfect standing before me. That has power with God. That's the Syrophoenician woman had power with God. Lord, help me. I say to you, O woman, great is thy faith. What about the leper? The leper had power with God. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Listen to the Lord's answer. I will. Be thou clean. Now that has power with God. You know, when religious people talk about their power with God, I just want to hold my ears to the things they're saying. But this does have power with God and prevails. Israel, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Now, wouldn't you do the same thing? It's interesting. Everything I've read about that, they said, you know, he was prying into business he had no business getting into. Well, I don't know that. I'd want to know his name too, wouldn't you? Tell me thy name. But I love the way the Lord answers him. Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? When Manoah said, what's your name? The Lord says, how? What are you asking my name, seeing it's secret? It's wonderful. You know what the Lord is letting Jacob know, and me know, and you know at that time? He's God, and we're not. And there is so much we'll never understand. And we're fine with that. He's God. I'm not. No man knows the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. His name is wonderful. His name is secret. We love His name. And there's much that we'll never truly understand with regard to Him. You know, even in glory, when I see Him face to face, it'll still be a glimpse. For eternity, There'll still be more. There'll still be more. There'll still be more. What are you doing asking my name? And he blessed him there. That's where he blessed him. There. What's your name? Jacob. The blessing has begun. You're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel. This is true of every one of God's Israel. Every believer, Israel. As a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And here's why he called it Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Couldn't help but think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as he passed over Peniel, and I don't know why there's a different spelling. It's the exact same word in the Hebrew as Peniel. Same thing. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. You know, there's a lot of thought to that, isn't there? That's when the sun rose. That's when he could see. When he saw God face to face. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. As a matter of fact, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Now, I have heard people say that means Jacob's life was changed, and you could see it. Now, let me say this about that thought. I want people to see that Jesus Christ is my all. I do want people to see that. I want people to know that I love Him. And I want to honor Him in my conduct. I want to honor Him in my character. I want to honor Him in the way I treat you. I want to honor Him in the way I deal with adversity. I want to honor Him I want to honor Him. You do too. Just as much as I do. Every believer in here wants to live for the glory of Christ. My conduct does matter. My character matters. I want to honor Him. Don't anybody say, well, you don't. It matters. But let me tell you this. That was a limp in his walk. And whenever you find out who God is, you are going to be conscious of a continual limp in your walk. And you know why? The Lord God in His mercy is making it to where you don't have anything but Christ. And you realize that. And you remember that. You do not have anything but Christ. I love the way a woman said to a preacher, if all you have is Christ, is that enough? Good question. And the wise preacher replied, it is if He's all you got. If you have anything else, you don't have Him in the first place. But if He's all you got, you have all He requires, all you need, and all you want. He had that limp the rest of his life. Now here is something that is very interesting. He halted upon his thigh. You could see that limp. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. You know what growing in grace is? Shrinking. If I'm not shrinking, I'm not growing. When I'm shrinking, I'm growing. He shrank. He walked with that limp. But let me remind you something about Jacob. Christ loved Jacob. Christ died for his sins. Christ gave him his very righteousness. Christ preserves him eternally. He's in glory right now with Christ. He doesn't have that limp anymore. No. He's perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, like every believer is waiting for. But I pray God makes me shrink. That's the only true growth, is that of shrinking in my own eyes and having a higher view of Him. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that You will wrestle with us and bring us to strengthlessness and cause us to say, we will not let Thee go except Thou bless us. For Lord, we have no other options. We have nowhere else to go. We will not let Thee go except Thou bless us, because we must have Your blessing. Bless us for Christ's sake as we prepare to observe the Lord's table. We ask that we would be enabled to do this in remembrance of You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.